This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. On the job site, did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You're listening to the Saturday Magazine here on Joy 94.9. We've just had in the studio Police Commissioner Graham Ashton and the newly appointed Assistant Commissioner, Brett McLean, for gender equality. And now we're going to go back to the boys to talk about our next guest.
Yes, which is Angus
Cloland, actually.
Angus Cloland, the CEO of Mental Health Victoria, and we're going to talk about the Royal Commission and the recommendations of that. The most challenging, which I think is going to be how it's going to be funded. Angus won't have necessarily the answers on that. I'm sure he's got an idea whether we can extract that from him. But again, you know, Victoria Police...
That was a great interview, Macca.
And you know, look, at the end of the day, you know, the challenge is in those organisations, and we'll cover this with Tony Walker as well, the mental health impacts of those jobs. And look, you know, lots of people have very differing views about our emergency services, about the police, about the ambulance, about the fires, etc. Just imagine if they weren't there. There's a lot of things that can change. There's a lot of things that can improve. But think about the challenge that those people face, men and women face, doing those roles. And for me, particularly, the focus on mental health and now, you know, on gender equity and inclusion, this is really important stuff. It's really important stuff. I know Ambulance Victoria have walked a long way on this and doing a lot. Victoria Police is. The Fire Brigade's talking about it.
Oh, Macca, I'm going to take this back a little bit and say, you know, these sorts of things just don't happen because of the goodwill of an individual. It requires leadership and drive.
Yeah.
And, you know, our very own government have actually set some very high standards.
Oh, yeah.
50%.
And the Cabinet's
50%. Gender equality, 50% at every level. Yeah. Now, I think of every engagement that I have, it is 50-50. And I think that that's what the police is driving for, and that's been driven very much by the expectations of our community, but it requires leadership and drive.
Yeah. So again,
now, Macca, I think we're having a bit of a technical issue.
We are, yeah. So I just want to talk some more about. We need to think about, you know, as we're coming up to the holiday season, and Christmas Day and Boxing Day are historically some of the days that have the highest incidence of domestic violence, and also, you know, domestic violence is also, you know, in a lot of cases allied with a mental health condition, not always, but sometimes. We need to, you know, think about that and understand that this Royal Commission into Mental Health is a really, really important outcome. You know, sorry, the outcomes from it are really important. How we fund them, but as members of a community, we need to understand that mental health concerns all of us. And if we don't actually address this.
Well, it's more serious than that, Macca, because one in five of us...
It's an epidemic.
At any time...
It is an epidemic.
No, it's not an epidemic.
I think it is.
It's actually very normal. I think that one in five of us will experience some form of mental illness at any point in our life. And, yes, there are some people that have a severe form of mental illness, but most of us will experience depression and anxiety at some point in our life. And we need to have the support, the services and the infrastructure in place to be able to deal with that effectively, as well as providing more intensive support for those people who are more adversely affected and have an ongoing disability.
Yeah, because there's obviously a sliding scale, you know.
Of course.
But the reason I say epidemic, Tass, is an infectious disease, When that passes 5% of a population, that's when it's regarded as an epidemic. In a medical sense.
I thought an epidemic was where you had more people with a condition than those who were dropping off.
No. Well, different... But anyway, look, it's 1 in 5. I say...
I think that might be the technical definition, Dale.
Well, it's the one that I have. So there. But in any case, one in five folk are going to have a mental health incident or a number of them in their life, at least. At least one. And, you know, we need to resource this better, and that's going to be the challenge. But it is incumbent on all of us to actually understand that we all have a role to play here.
I agree with you, Macca.
And, unfortunately, we're just having a challenge getting hold of...
Well, I think that we might just have to accept that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But look, Macca, I think this is a really important topic and a topic that we all need to continuously talk about. You know, reflecting on Graham's conversation, he talked about the stigma associated with mental illness.
Yeah, about people speaking up.
And it's actually more complicated than that because...
But I think that's just in the workforce as opposed to generally. But think about this, Tass. You know, we're on a journey here. Think about a few years ago how difficult it was and how challenging it was for so many people to talk about domestic violence. Now it's a lot easier. It's still difficult, but now it's a lot easier. And I think with mental health, we're on the same journey, that people are going to understand more and more that mental health, you know, is a big problem, is a big issue, is a big challenge, and we need to deal with it head on. As opposed to sweeping it under the carpet, which is what we did with domestic violence.
I agree with you, Macca, wholeheartedly. What I would say to that is that, you know, stigma operates on a variety of different levels.
Mm.
It operates at an individual level where people feel the shame associated with the condition or the issue at hand and therefore won't deal with that. You also have the situation where you have organisational and institutional stigma.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we still have institutions, if you look at some of our policies or our customs, that actually say some people can do this and some people can't do that. And I think that needs to be challenged as well. So we need to be operating at a couple of levels. It's not just about the individual on their own. It's actually about... It's actually about operating at a variety of different levels. And look, we've just had an interesting bit of feedback from one of our listeners. Oh, 317, great to hear from you. 317 says more politicians should come out and be honest about their own mental health.
And look, we've had...
I agree with that.
We've had a number that have, and, you know, on both sides, in fact, all sides of the aisle, you know, over recent years have talked about depression, talked about other mental health issues and that why they're taking a break or why they're stepping down. And as I said...
But I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough in terms of creating change. To create change...
It isn't.
You need to have the service responses in place. And for most people who are experiencing a mental disorder of some sort, they actually don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And they often don't even recognise that they have a mental disorder.
Yeah.
Macca, just going back to the Royal Commission report, I've been reflecting on this quite a lot. I think the interim report...
It's a big piece of work, isn't it?
It's a massive piece of work. It's a 556-page report. That's just the interim report. And I have to congratulate the commissioners in the thoroughness of the analysis that they've done. I think the recommendations in that report are acceptable.
Mm.
There's no real surprise in there for me. The only surprise is the recommendation about the revenue source. Now, I don't think that... I didn't see that one coming, to be quite honest. But the other recommendations, I think, about increasing bed capacity, delivering new specialist centres of excellence... increasing the consumer engagement, increasing the lived experience in public and policy making and service design. All of those things I think are very, very sensible. No surprises. What was a surprise was this call for a new revenue stream. And
so why was that a surprise?
I didn't expect to see that, personally.
What, that the Royal Commission wouldn't they make the recommendations. I would have thought it flows from that you perhaps make a suggestion how you might implement them. And you can only implement them when you have money.
Often what these things do is they tell you what the problem is, and they tell you what needs to be fixed, but not how to fix it. So, I mean, that's only part of the issue. It came out of left field for me. I'd heard a few rumours about this in the week leading up to the release of the report, and I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. Mm. And, of course, it's been widely supported by everybody except for the opposition. And
well, they said the government needs to cut spending.
That's what we heard from Michael O'Brien last week.
In fact, didn't he say that the Premier's got more media advisers than the Prime Minister?
Oh, he also said that he should just, you know, cut. I mean, that's just money around the edges, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, look, I think there is broad agreement on the recommendations. The challenge, and I think the public debate, is going to be most difficult around how to pay for it. I still stick, you know, as I said previously, to my idea of a levy on every single property in Victoria, with no exceptions. With no exceptions. And that means I include religious institutions and charitable institutions. TAS is of a different view, and that's absolutely fine. We're going to have to find, as a community, probably up to $2 billion a year to implement this. You know, we've got to find the money from somewhere. Or we can let it continue like it has for years and years and years and been underfunded, not recognised, not dealt with. We all pay a cost for this, so we need to fund it. It absolutely needs to be funded, Tess.
Oh, I'm not disputing that.
Mm.
Not at all. If you look at... I actually don't know the figures off the top of my head, but the overall mental health expenditure in Victoria is only a small percentage of the overall spend. I think what we also need is better integration between federal and Commonwealth funding streams, because the primary
federal and state.
Correct.
Because federal and Commonwealth.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the primary end, which is delivered by GPs and psychologists, that's funded through Medicare. And if you think about the more acute end, that's funded by the Commonwealth, by the state. But what you do need is better integration between the two.
Of course.
Because it's not that blunt. Sometimes you need a continuum between the two, and you need to be able to move in between the two. So I think till our federal government and our state governments can get together and sort some of this out, you know, what we're doing is just putting Band-Aids on.
Yeah, and they're actually cheap Band-Aids that fall off.
Okay, Macca.
Well, no, they are.
No, I agree with you.
You know, we deinstitutionalised mental illness decades ago, and, you know, we all thought it was going okay. Then we discovered, well, actually, it's not.
Mm.
You know, it's a really serious issue. It's a disgrace.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.